I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
You are listening live from Fifth Third Arena here in downtown Chicago, Illinois, one block south of the United Center. It's the second City Hockey Podcast, live remote. We're doing this 1950 style, one microphone, one table, and three knuckleheads. It's Brad, it's Brandon, it's Dave Melton. Gentlemen, the first time in person we've ever done this.
Yeah, I know. What could possibly go wrong?
So many things.
It's a good thing there's a post-editing for this, because if this was live, we'd be in trouble.
Oh, nice. No, again, we clearly listen our listening live. I'm a little nervous, I'll be honest. So we've kind of exiled ourselves to one of the party rooms near the end of the ice arena, which is fine, because I don't think there's any little kids' birthday parties happening, but I'm convinced that about 5 minutes into this, somebody's going to kick down that door and be like,
who are you and what are you doing here?
Like, the catering people are going to come through here like, what are you doing? Get out of here.
But what if they bring us lunch? If they bring us food, I'm in.
Give me some pizza.
Cookies, Brandon. Cookies.
Cookies.
I'll just tell them we're like the Chicago Sports Star Daily. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Good.
Exactly. You guys never heard of this?
Good God. All right, time to move on. So we just watched the Chicago Blackhawks prospect camp scrimmage here on Friday. Started at 9:30 this morning. It was, it was 3 periods of...
hockey.
Well, no, so they had... It was 2 12-minute sessions of 5-on-5, followed by 2 5-minute sessions of 3-on-3. And then the third period was at 15 minutes full
15
strength.
4-on-4, I thought.
Oh, that's right, 15 at 4-on-4, and then another 5 minute 3-on-3, followed by a
they did shootout.
Anticlimactic shootout.
Yeah.
Dave Melton, what are your thoughts on your very first prospect camp experience? What did you see? What did you feel? What did you learn? What did you live? Did you laugh? Did you love?
Yes. Just yes. All of those things. No, I think Brandon and I were talking about this. I think when, we mentioned earlier in the week, we wanted to see the big names look like it. And I think we saw that with a lot of them. Kirby Dach looked very good. Mm. At various times, he looked clearly like a top 10 pick. Adam Boqvist looked very good on offense. Ian Mitchell made some really nice plays on the defensive side. Alex Nylander. We'll get into that later. I think we saw everything from Doc. You saw a bunch of great plays on offense. You saw the vision. You saw the hands. You saw the playmaking ability. You saw him skate about 100 feet to catch Michael Tepley on a breakaway, lift a stick, and totally deny a scoring chance. Mm-hmm. Bogus just made some phenomenal dangles.
He's
going to
be
line.
So
He's
good.
He's really fun. But he also had like one or two turnovers. Like there was actually Nylander picked his pocket behind the net.
Yeah.
Got to Mitchell. Mitchell passed it to Fromm scored. So, you know, but that's where Boqvist, if he makes those mistakes, it's okay as long as he does really cool stuff on the offensive side of the ice. So, Boqvist, Mitchell, and Doc, all very encouraging. You saw what you expected to see. Nylander just, I don't know. There was like one or two plays he did that were interesting, but for a guy that's played in the NHL, mm-hmm. he has played not only like 10 games, but he's played in the NHL.
He's on the Dylan Sakura plan.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Who is not here, by the way?
He's not even here and you're doing this.
How is Alex Nylander here and Dylan Sakura
but
not
anyway,
here?
But Nylander, like, you'd expect Nylander to just be a men amongst boys out here, and he wasn't, so that's a little disappointing. But yeah. I don't know if Brandon agrees with me now, but go ahead.
No, yeah, I agree. With Nylander, he was there and you could see him playing, but he didn't jump out and he wasn't noticeable like the Doc, the Boqvist, the Bodans that we had. So that's what you would want to see, but it just wasn't there. And throughout the week, he was noticeable in drills and he looked that next step mm-hmm. above everyone else. So that was discouraging on that end.
Yeah.
But then when you see the other guys who stepped up,
mm-hmm.
that was the encouraging part with Philip Kurashev and Brendan Hagel.
Yes.
Yeah. Was there any, like, I was trying to think of specific plays that I remember that were really interesting. I mean, Boqvist had like a handful of dangles that set up a chance. He had one that was right in front of me, and we'll have a video online at Second City Hockey at some point, because he walked like two guys and just blasted the, yeah, sorry. So, no, you use all your shout-outs for this entire month in the last podcast.
Oh, come
we're
on.
Not saying shout-out anymore.
Come on.
But anyway, Boqvist like walked two people, ripped one off the pipe. Doc had the back check that was really impressive and a couple offensive zone plays. The Ian Mitchell play that I was raving to you guys about earlier was he had the puck in the corner. There were like two guys around him, and he just made this perfect little 6-foot pass to Doc, who was waiting like kind of right in front of the net. So kind of a dangerous area, but he put it right on Doc's tape, completely relieved the play, and they went the other way. Like, it's those little like 6-foot passes that make defensemen really good.
Mm-hmm.
So seeing him do that, that's a very encouraging sign. So I was always a big Ian Mitchell guy initially, and this did nothing to calm that down. So
mm-hmm. yeah, Mitchell and for me, yeah, Boqvist especially as well. Mm-hmm. I on the offensive end. God, that kid's got hands.
Yeah.
He's going to be so good, that offensive defenseman.
It's like he's going to make some plays that you're going to like jump out of your seat. He's also going to do it and turn the puck over and give up a breakaway the other way. And I think hopefully as time goes on with him, he'll learn when he can get away with moves like that and when he cannot.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the hope with him. But yeah, there's a lot to like about him.
Brandon, this is why we appreciate having Brandon in studio here.
Is Boqvist?
Yeah, right. Is Boqvist? He did not resign. Like he'll be in Rockford, right, this season.
Yeah. So when Stan Bowman met with the media on Wednesday, he said that they're leaning toward him going pro. So he would either be in the NHL or AHL. AHL seems likely because when you sit back and you think about it, it seems like what the Blackhawks are trying to do is bring these guys up together. Like, have success at the AHL level, dominate, come up together, and hopefully that translates to the NHL. And there's chemistry already built in. And yeah, they might be young and a little bit small, but they found ways at the AHL level to find success, and then that would translate to the NHL.
It was interesting.
So
I did see they had Mitchell and Vlasic were paired together. I almost said Mark Edward Vlasic. That's the wrong one.
Close.
Yeah. Still equally as large. But Alex Vlasic and Ian Mitchell were skating together on the line a lot for the Team B, which was, I think, the white jerseys today.
Yes.
But yeah, they were. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to call that a future pairing, but it's interesting to see them paired up, and also on the other team, Boqvist and Bowden were paired up.
Yeah.
So it's like, I mean, I don't think we're going to be pairing that line together for the next decade because of what they do in prospect camp, but it was interesting to watch that dynamic out there. And, like, there was one shift where, again, I forget who the fourth guy was, but the other three skaters were Mitchell, Doc and Nylander, and they had about 45 seconds of zone time, and whoever were, it was like it was a lot of the lower draft picks skating for the red team, and it was like watching Harlem Globetrotters because those guys just weren't going to touch the puck.
Yep.
It was interesting to watch.
Another player I was really interested to see was one of the Sorella boys. In this case, it was Antti, who surprisingly enough seemed pretty, I'm going to say, pretty driven from the blue line and in. He wasn't really great in transition, I will say that, especially in the neutral zone. But the second they got across the blue line, he was a big catalyst for Team A, the red team,
now,
whatever.
Now, Antti Sorella is the one that they drafted, and Alexi Sorella is the one they got in the trade that lit up the AHL last year.
Correct.
Okay. Yes. I can't get all these names.
Correct.
And apparently the Blackhawks have a thing for Finnish guys named Antti.
Yeah, no kidding. Or just the letter A.
I can't believe they have. Surprise, he's not a goalie.
Right?
Well, yeah, that's Alexis. Which, by the way, I'm going to get that out of the right now. And I was talking before the scrimmage today. Alexis Gravel is the one who looked really good. And I said last episode that he looked like shit. And who I was thinking of was Walter Peters.
Walter Peters?
W-O-O-T. Yeah, no. Gravel looked awesome, especially...
He looked pretty good today.
In the first
period. Showing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Really great...
he's huge.
Yeah.
A guy like him, as long as he can stay in position, he's 6'7". Mm-hmm. He's going to stop a lot of pucks.
And nimble.
Yes.
And I think the thing with...
Gravel is 6'2", by the way.
Oh, 6'2"?
Yeah.
Why did I think he was 6'7"? He's 6'7" on skates.
There you go. Yeah, I think the thing with
Everyone
Gravel...
Everyone looks 6'7" to me. Sorry, guys. Okay, Dominic Bassi's the guy that's 6'6".
Yeah.
So the thing with Gravel that I noticed is he stayed back, and when I saw him in the QMJHL, well, that's a mouthful, finals.
In the
Memorial Cup tournament, he would come out of his net a little bit and then just rely on his glove hand, which is great, by the way. But it seemed like today he kind of held back a little bit and didn't cut off the angle kind of situation there. So that was good to see because he's seen things better. I know that was my takeaway on his play.
Are you going to shout out Cat Silverman for the
I was about to say.
Or what's
about to say. Yeah.
That was your window.
Yeah, there you go.
There it went.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, for the goaltending prospects that I know.
There are only two of them.
Yeah.
I was checking the rosters trying to figure out who all the other goalies were. Zacharias Skog, and they always have some random
AIC.
Yeah, they always have some random goalie invite. But I think isn't this Collins Delia got fined, right? He got invited to this camp and he played so well, he got a contract, and now he might be the number one goalie.
So
the
one invite that's interesting is Devin Cooley, who plays with Mitchell at Denver.
Okay,
he should assume the starting spot there. So Mitchell's kind of the go-between liaison for that conversation.
Even when it comes to NHL prospects, it's still who you know.
Yep.
He gets the call because his buddy that was prospecting, hey, we need a goalie. Do you want to come skate for the Chicago Blackhawks prospects for a week?
Well, that's also they're watching so much of Mitchell play.
Oh, yeah.
You're going
to
see this kid play.
And that's how a lot of players get discovered, when you're watching player A, and, this guy is actually really good, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So of the players that you saw today, we'll start with Dave and then work our way around the table here. Who is the player that impressed you the most?
Well, I mean, outside of the big three, I think the big names that we mentioned, I think we knew those guys were supposed to show up. I think some of the more unheralded guys that were really impressive, one in particular was Brandon Hagel. Because in this, I think it was the second period when they were attacking on our side.
Good name. Our side.
Sorry. On the side I was standing on. But every time I looked up, Hagel either had the puck or was about to steal it from somebody on the opposing team. Hagel was all over the place. He had a ton of shots, a ton of chances. So I think that's the number one name I noticed out of other guys. And it's was very... I forget. He's 20 years old, so it's not like he was, a guy that's 22 or 23 beating up on a bunch of teenagers. He's playing against guys his own age, and he was pretty impressive. I think that's the biggest name. That was the biggest one I noticed. I mean, it was really Josiah Slavin had a few moments I remember.
Sweet goal in the third.
He did have a sweet goal in the third. You are absolutely correct on that. Cole Moberg had the seventh round pick this year, had a pretty good snipe jumping in from the blue line on a play. Didn't really notice anybody else as I'm looking down the roster here. I mean, Mackenzie Entwistle, I don't remember anything specific from him. Matthias Fromm had a couple plays where he was in a good position and scored a goal because he got in the right spot and mm-hmm. he had teammates to set him up.
So are you just going to take all the players? Or
exactly.
Like Brandon?
Exactly. And the last thing I have to say, this was an observation, I think we were talking about this earlier, Brandon, is that it seemed like Kirby Dach lost every faceoff he took today.
Yeah.
So that's one minor cause for concern. Yeah. He's only 18.
And on the other end of that, though, Philip Kurashev looked pretty damn good.
Okay.
So it's just like his speed and how he plays off the puck
mm-hmm.
that's most notable about his play for me. Obviously,
great
Brandon Hagel.
Offense too.
Yeah. Brandon Hagel stood out.
You're just going to keep hyping the Brandons.
Hey, if he played for the Brandon Wheat Kings, that'd be like way too much going on there. And then Kyle Olsen was the forward invite. He was drafted by the Ducks a couple years ago, and the same thing with Hagel, where his draft rights expired and the Ducks decided not to sign him. So that could be a candidate to sign a deal before the season gets started. And he plays for the Tri-City Americans. So he'll be the captain there.
Tri-City Americans.
Americans.
And then, Alex Vlasic is a freaking unit. That
guy
is
so big.
So tall.
Yeah, he's so tall.
And despite his size, he's able to move his feet.
Yeah.
Which is something that, like, when you see a guy that big, you're like maybe a little bit slow, but... Mm.
Yeah,
his stride just seems so effortless.
Yeah, and it's not a lazy thing. Like, he doesn't, like, just try and use his height and his reach to just, like, mm-hmm. you know, stick check the puck away.
He's not bumbling
into the defensive zone. He moves his feet into position. So, yeah.
He ran down Josiah Slavin for a couple pucks in the mm-hmm. third as well, deep in their own zone, too. That was really good to see. My guy was Josh S., actually.
Okay.
Off the left side defense for the White team. Initially, I don't know if it was just, you know, trying to figure out the squad he was with or whatever it was. He was, I'm not going to say underwhelming, but, you know, didn't really stand out in the first. But later on in the game, you saw him absolutely open up his play, especially at the blue line. And I believe he was responsible for, I want to say, at least two or three goals that the White team had produced in the later periods of this game, or of the scrimmage. Again, just from starting the offense at the blue line. And again, for players that were hyping up like Ian Mitchell, like Adam Boqvist, that are going to be that anyways, or, you know, maybe guys that actually produce the offense themselves, to see kind of a no-name guy come out of the woodwork and have a decent camp like this. Big ups to Josh S. on that. The Wisconsin Badger Project, which, of course, then segues us to the dude that we thought was the least impressive, or the one that was maybe a bit disappointing.
Yeah.
We're all about positive spin here. Go ahead, Dave.
I don't know. I really thought Nylander was going to do
it. Light him up!
I thought he was going to do a bunch of cool things. It seemed like there were two or three times where he was going to try and do some, like... it reminded me of if you've ever watched... There's some Hawks games where Kane gets really frustrated because things aren't working his way, and then he tries to do some, like, incredible dangles, and they don't work, and he gets pissed off. That's how Nylander looked today.
Yep.
It was really weird. Like, it seemed like he was just, like, trying to do highlight reel stuff, and... like, there was a few board battles that he didn't, like, look particularly interested in winning and things of that nature. So, I don't know. I can see where the concerns from him mm-hmm. or why people had concerns about him now. Mm-hmm. It makes sense. I'm not going to write the guy off at prospect camp because he's sometimes guys that have the amount of skill that he has need to play with players with a similar skill level mm-hmm. to bring it out of him. So maybe you put him on the line with Kane or DeBrincat or Taves or whoever, and then you see the full Nylander, the idealized version of Alex Nylander. But
he plays up to his competition.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And then if he's playing down, it's like, now what am I doing here? Why am I wasting my time?
But absolutely.
Yeah. So I guess that's the one thing. And I'd had that observation, and Ben Pope from the Sun-Times tweeted my thoughts exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, so it's not just me. So other people are thinking this too. So that made me feel a little bit better about myself because I didn't think I was the only one.
Gotcha. Brandon?
Most disappointing was probably because my expectation levels were high. Aside from Nylander would be Reese Johnson.
God dang it!
It was just the first period he looked great. And then just kind of tapered off in the scrimmage. Mm-hmm. That was probably a product of his playing time
yep.
throughout. Mm-hmm. But from what I saw in his brief stint in Rockford last season, to today, it hasn't like gone up considerably, but it's not like flatline. Like there's a little peak in what I've seen.
Oh, I'd argue we almost took a step back, or at least what it looked like.
Yeah, but I think that's also like a product of who he was playing with.
Mm.
So, because in Rockford, Reese Johnson and Luke Johnson and Brandon Hagel played really well together, and then when the Johnsons were separated, looked a little different. So it'll be interesting once the season gets started to see how Reese Johnson commands a line as a center.
It's never good to separate your Johnsons. Never a good idea.
Damn it, Brad.
And it's funny.
And good night.
And it's funny because Reese Johnson today paired with Brandon Hagel, who had himself a day. I think he was.
So it's maybe that his offensive game didn't come out as much, but he was able to set up Hagel.
Yeah.
I think he, speaking of Hagel, I think he won like the MVP or whatever it was. They had a little trophy presentation out there. I don't know what the heck.
Yeah.
That
I was encouraged by him. And so that'll be, I mean, he had 102 points last season. I know it's in the juniors where people can score, but, you know, 100 points is 100 points.
Right.
It's a good deal.
Absolutely. I guess, so if I'm going to nitpick here, actually, and another guy that I thought looked pretty darn good was Josiah Slavin as well. Seeing him here as opposed to in the USHL, this was very refreshing. I guess a guy that I kind of expected to see a little bit more of who would have been on par with Slavin was Hekkarainen. And it wasn't like he was disappointing because I wasn't expecting a whole lot from him, but I guess maybe that was where I thought, hey, maybe I'm going to see kind of what everybody was talking about with Hekkarainen, and it just never really came to fruition. So, but again, that could be just me.
I think the downside is you don't have Nicholas Nordergren, you don't have Tim Soderlund playing. Tim wasn't able to come because of visa issues. Nordergren was injured, so he did off-ice activities. Same with Evan Barrett. And with Barrett, it's fine. You can flip on BTN, you can see a game with him playing for Penn State.
Right.
With Nordergren, it's like, well, I got to get up at the ass crack of dawn and find some stream for some Liga game to see him play. And then, like, the two Russian prospects, Kumyov and Double A, I'll call him, because I don't want to take a risk at mispronouncing that.
Oh, Artem Anisimov?
No.
I know.
So,
Sky Point.
So not seeing those two guys is disappointing, but that's with their KHL contracts. They can't come over, so you can't do anything about that. And yeah, I think the guys that we wanted to see things from, we did more often than not, so that's encouraging.
Chad Chris looked really good, too.
That line, you know, that's another thing I was going to mention. There were some noticeable, like, it looks like some offensive play was developing, and then Chad Chris's stick was there to break it up.
Yep.
There was two or three times where he was noticeable on the defensive side of the ice, which is good. Because I think, is he more of a defensive-minded guy, or is he another puck-moving?
He's kind of
very pinch-pointy.
Yeah, like, in the middle.
Very pinch-pointy.
Pinch-pointy.
Good, yeah.
So he definitely has speed.
Command the blue line.
And can skate.
Smaller dude.
Yeah, but it's one of those things where you want to pair him with the more defensively-minded guy. So I feel like him and Lucas Carlson would be a good pairing.
Okay. They paired him with Rychek, and Rychek actually signed a Rockford contract last night.
Yeah.
So
one of the three right-handers that's on an AHL deal, and then Boqvist is the only one on an NHL deal there.
Right. So. It's so much different coming to these prospect camps. Like, this is the first time I'd ever actually come to this. Mm-hmm. But this has been a thing forever. So I remember like reading about this like earlier this decade when it was like Jeremy Morin and like Brandon Peary.
Ben Smith!
Hey. No. Ben Smith was already on the Blackhawks as he was becoming an overtime legend at that time.
Oh, that's right.
But the point being, like, they didn't have a lot of high draft picks because they were winning all the time. And now that they've had two years without making the playoffs, 3 years without winning a playoff game, now, like, there's some prospects, there's reasons to come watch these guys now, you know? There's a lot bigger names than there used to be. There weren't any, you know, they've had some prospects in the system before, but it'll be like one or two guys at a time. But now you got like Boqvist and Doc and Mitchell, like all these players that, like, you're hoping something happens with this group, and it's a lot more exciting to watch this because instead of just, you know, being here in 2014 and watching Tavo skate circles around
everyone. Right. And there was a full crowd here too. Yeah. I mean, there were people with
I mean the Blackhawks right now are as popular as they've probably ever been, so they could do.
And it's a nice Friday morning kind of situation. Blow off work a little bit.
Yeah. It's 100 degrees outside.
Oh, it's I don't want to go outside.
Day to be in here. Yeah.
I just want to stay inside the ice rink all day.
Yeah.
I was like waking up and driving up here and like sitting inside. I'm like, I don't want to do that. But I'm like, you know, if I got to be inside, at least there's a building with a giant ice cube in the middle of it to keep cool.
Two of them, actually.
I don't want to go outside.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I don't know if you guys know Adam Clendenning skating on the other side.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to bring that up.
I walked over there. There's a guy skating, and he's wearing his Columbus Blue Jackets gear, and number 6 on the back of his helmet. I'm like, well, you can't buy that at the store, so that must be Adam Clendenning. Like,
NHL.com.
Yeah,
but yeah, brought to you by
Pro Stock Hockey.
Yeah, right. Jeez.
I think the only other takeaway I have is all of these guys are the future for the Blackhawks, right?
Yeah.
So
hopefully,
yeah.
Or future trade pieces.
So now it's really important that Derek King, Anders Sorensen, Mark Eaton are able to develop these guys in the AHL because they're going to be the guys in the AHL. Mm. So molding that future, it's a big task, and you got a lot of responsibility now if you're Derek King.
It's funny you say that, too, because I noticed King was more vocal today than I ever saw him last season in Rockford.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Especially with Chad Kriss. And I don't know if that's just because that's the experience that King had with his team later in the season, because I don't think Rychek played any games last year, but ultimately, to see him being a little more vocal was awesome. I didn't see any Jeremy Colladen sightings here, but I think he's on vacation.
He was up top.
I saw Stan Bowman out there. But it was interesting when we were on this side. Like, there's, like, the front office area, which is on the side where I don't think they were letting Emeralds go. But I walked in, and I was texting you guys when I got in here, and I'm like, oh, John McDonough is sitting in front
sitting
of me.
With
like,
the people.
Barry Smith walked by me 15 times.
God, I wanted to punch every time.
Bradley.
I'm still in his building. Hold on. Let me check out the windows.
Is he still here?
Yeah, he's still here somewhere.
Yeah.
Like four dudes in the stand.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm and like Burrish and Pat Bowden were up here. Or Chris Bowden?
Pat Bowden.
They were up here doing their like in between bits for the Blackhawks website. Like
it's Chris.
Chris Bowden. That's right.
Chris Bowden. Yeah,
I'm thinking of Pat Doyle.
There you go. I get those two guys confused all the time. Sorry.
Big ups to the Hard Talk Podcast.
But anyway, it was weird. Like they were just like sitting just out among the people. It was very interesting.
To like paint the picture for those of you who aren't familiar with the layout. Only one half of the Hyundai rink at Fifth Third has like designated seating, and there's media, the whole thing. And there's maybe what you say about 8 rows of bleachers,
something like that,
stretching the entire length of the ice, filled to the brim, and some like plenty of standing room only space on top, which was very well occupied as well. And then on the other side where the team benches are, and then there's another Blackhawks locker room that's exactly... I actually got to go in there last year for CPHL. It's an exact replica of the locker room they have at the United Center.
Oh, yeah.
Down to the key cards, which is ridiculous.
Fancy.
But above that in the corner, there's this tiny little... there's the C-suite up in the corner, and like all the lights are off in the box, and there's just like 8 suits sitting along the railing. And Bowman was one of them.
Yeah.
Saw Barry Smith. Was it, who? I can't think of his name. Mark
Eaton,
scouting guy.
Mark Eaton.
Yep.
Or Mark Kelly.
No, I think isn't Kelly the director of scouting?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, but anyway, like the whole like organization was here. Obviously.
Yeah.
I mean,
absolutely.
This is a big deal because
with the fans.
The way the Blackhawks are right now, like this is a pretty important. This is a very important thing for them. Like if they're going to get back to winning, some of the guys that are on the ice today have to be good. Mm-hmm. Have to be NHL players.
Absolutely. Gentlemen, what we got coming up here pretty soon? I think there's a... you're going to break it down
position by
position?
We're going to have a lot of content just from everything we saw today. I've got like 86,000 videos to go through on my phone.
Things we saw. Are you sure it's not 83,000?
Yeah, of course.
83,069?
I'm leaving. But yeah, there's going to be stuff. We're going to have position group breakdowns, kind of just talking through what we saw today, and just give people that weren't there. We got a ton of videos. We can show you what happened, and you can judge for yourself what these players look like.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Brandon,
I think Brandon was at the opposite end of the rink of me, so we have like videos from each side.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it'll be positional breakdowns, and we'll start with defensemen, go to forwards, and then go to goalies.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll kind of wrap up the prospect coverage for a little bit, and we'll take a break, and people can enjoy the convention next weekend. And
and
after that, we'll start our top 25, under 25 voting.
Yeah.
And we're trying to figure out a way so we can have community voting on that, so you listeners and readers of Second City Hockey can compare your rankings to staff members' rankings. Mm-hmm. And see what the difference is, and kind of compare and contrast there. So,
and we were talking earlier, like, it's going to be so much different. In the last few years, has been so much different ranking these, because in the past we had, like, what was that? Tyler Mott was number six once.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tyler Mott. So now we've got, like, you know, now the number six guy could be a top 10 pick.
So it's going to be fun. Again, on site here, Fifth Third Arena, following Blackhawks prospect camp, the scrimmage on Friday.
Live.
You are listening live from the Chicago Blackhawks community ice rink. Again, thank you everybody for listening. SecondCityHockey.com at Second City Hockey, number 2ND City Hockey. Dave Melton, Brandon Kane, Brad Replinger, assorted goodies across the website here. Mm-hmm. For the next couple of days following prospect camp and all that. And until next time.
And we didn't get kicked out.
And we didn't get kicked out by the caterers. Until next time. Maybe next week? No, 2 weeks from now.
Yeah, we'll be around. It's summer. We'll drop in when we've got things to say.
We'll drop in soon. Thank you for listening.
Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya, guselkumab, is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue, as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.